Welcome to Day Zero Update for January 28th, 2024. I'm your host, Chris Elogi.
I'm Brandon Perkins.
And I'm Danira Victorio.
Yeah, we've got a big week this week of some new releases here. We got some Like a Dragon. Infinite Wealth is out this week. There's Tekken 8. I don't think any of us have gotten that game yet. But we also got a bunch of news, big news, a bunch of layoffs, one more so than the others, but two big companies in there in the mix, laying off a staggering amount of people.
Oh, yeah.
We got some dates for you, including Square Enix finally releasing a certain Final Fantasy movie to theaters for the first time. Yeah, we got some DLC for Splatoon 3 finally getting a date. We got some news about when Nintendo is shutting down their online stuff for the 3DS and the Wii U. That is pretty soon. I think we knew it was the month it was going to be at, but not the date. And then we got the weirdest news about a mobile game that is finally releasing and then also shutting down shortly after. We'll tell you about that. But before we do that, we'll talk about what we've been playing, and I'll start here. I've been playing some more Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown. Been enjoying that still. Kind of just digging through in, you know, a Metroid-like. You're kind of getting new abilities and such and kind of figuring out different parts of the map kind of stuff. So I've been kind of pushing out into different areas of the map. Maybe not making a ton of progress, but I have been kind of making good progress through these different areas and finding stuff. Found a big thing that they basically tell me up front, like, well, you're not able to do anything here. So just leave and come back later kind of thing. But yeah, still enjoying it a lot, still working my way through a lot of it. And I'm still waiting on one ability. I believe a double jump of some kind, because a lot of my screenshots that I have on the map are places where it's like, this is too high. I can't get here kind of thing, and dealing with that. So that's where I'm at on that game. The other game I've been playing a good bit this week with Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming up, I'm back into Final Fantasy Remake, hoping to beat it here in the next month or so. And making some good progress. I'm in Chapter 9 with the Don Corneo stuff going on. Particularly, I've been just running around through the town, finding annoying some little chests that are blocked off by people in alleyways that I assume at a certain point a story thing will happen and they will disappear. But for now, I just had to stare at them as an invisible wall of humans stand in the way. But this is the point where I'm trying to get into the Don Corneo audition and doing a little bit of fighting. With Aerith, and that whole thing is pretty funny. I had I beat the all the main fights, and then they're like, "Oh, there's going to be one more," and it's a fucking robotic house. That is a very dumb thing. That is kind of wild, but I had the game crash on me when that happened, so I was like, I'll come back later. But I was making pretty decent progress through that stuff. But yeah, kind of making my way through this game, so enjoying it a lot still. And yeah, let's see. Next one, Pal World. Been playing some more of that, did a stream with it. Basically, where I'm at right now is where kind of the real game is going to start. As this game is known as the game where it's Pokemon with guns. And I just now unlock stuff on the tech tree where I can start crafting guns for certain pals. So that's the thing I'll be able to do at some point, but that's still like 7-8 hours in. I have found where the first boss is, and I got destroyed. By that, they're just like, oh, you gotta go to this tower, and you load into this area where they have an electric type, and I had no clue what I was going to be facing. or anything. So now I've like, okay, looked up the elemental chart, and it's like, all right, you need earth types to take on the electric type. So I've put a few of those in my party. Now I'm kind of doing various things, because as you even just pick up stuff, you get the experience for everybody. So I'm basically trying to level up some of these pals and kind of get them into better fighting shape for that. So that's kind of where that is. And I'm also looking at potentially just getting building a new base. Because going into find out where this boss was opened up some more things to happen, I guess, where I found a village that's nearby, and just some pals just wandered in, just killed them all, killed all the people in there. I was like, oh, okay, that's a thing, I guess. Which then not too long afterwards had some of the people tied to this syndicate that is part of the first boss thing. I guess they're probably the Team Rocket of this world. It's called like Rain Syndicate, something like that. R-A-Y-N-E. Raided my base, which all my pals that are, you know, doing work on there are like level 8, 9, 10-ish, and they're all level 4 or 5. And so I just went over there and just basically wiped them all out. It was not too hard. So that was the first instance of my base being raided, and I don't have any like defenses set up. I just have pals just doing work and whatnot, because there's it's taken like 7-8 hours for anything to happen on that front. So that's been kind of a lot of what I've been doing, just kind of looking into the other things that are going on. I found a dungeon that I could go into, but the level it's recommended was higher than anything I had. So kind of decided like, I'll check it out at another time. But yeah, the game's still solid, but it's not really amazing or anything. The survival stuff, the crafting and all that, just kind of annoyances, because it's a lot of things. It's like, I had one thing that required PAL fluids, and you're like, what the hell is that? And the game does not tell you. I had to just Google it. It's like, oh, these are what drops from water type PALs. But it's like, okay, that doesn't logically make any sense. It just sounds weird.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like you're milking them.
Yeah.
Essentially. But maybe that's how they get around things like that. But yeah. But that's Power World. It's still going. But yeah, that's been pretty much what I've been playing. So, Brandon, how about you?
Well, I'm still playing Fear and Hunger. And I've gotten a couple of the endings out of it. Because, as I said before, the game itself is not terribly long. Theoretically, you could do the whole thing in a good 5-6 hours, maybe. But the thing is there's so much that can happen in this game, and there's just so much, like, it's there's so much that one playthrough is never the same as another. There's always some random stuff that's going to happen. There's always some new thing that's going to be encountered. And there's a part where, like, there's literally like an entire part of the game that's like cut off from you if you do not like follow a certain sequence of events to get there. But yeah, it's amazing just how much they managed to put into this game, and how rewarding how much it rewards you if you keep at it. Because yeah, the game is notoriously difficult to get through. But it's legitimately, you know, once you get a hang of its mechanics, it's like really engaging. I understand now why this game took off the way it did. But on top of that, I also am still playing Pokemon Scarlet. I've actually just about towards the end of it. I have finished all of the three, you know, the three major storylines. I've beaten all the gym leaders and become a champion league trainer. I beat the four there, so that's done. I've beaten every member of Team Star, including the leader, and I've also beaten all of the Titan Pokemon. And the last person you need to fight before, you know, the next part of the game opens up, which is the last part, and that's going into Area Zero. So that's actually where I stopped playing last night, is getting ready to go into Area Zero. So yeah, that's more or less what I've been doing. So Dan Reb, what about you?
Yeah, the main game that I've been playing is a game that I can't talk about until next week, so there's that. Aside from that, though, we unfortunately couldn't get a code for Like a Dragon, and I also unfortunately did not pre-order it, so I didn't realize that I'd have trouble looking for it throughout the entire Bay Area. What happened was I saw that it was available at a Best Buy near me during launch, and then when I waited for Best Buy to open, I went in to find out that they were gone. So I guess they were just pre-orders that they just didn't process yet, and I was like, wow, that was a waste of time. But I ended up picking it up yesterday from a Best Buy 30 miles south of me. So yes, I did drive half an hour to go ahead and get that game and come back. And you know what? I do not regret it at all. Like a Dragon, Infinite Wealth, you know, as some of us might know, can otherwise be called Yakuza 8. It is a direct continuation from Yakuza Like a Dragon, which is the seventh game in the series, and also the second JRPG in the series, starring Ichiban Kasuga. And yeah, like, as far as replacing Kiryu, one thing that we do know is that they're both in this game as main protagonists that you can actually use. After beating the Man Without a Name last week, a lot of it was filler until you reach the end and you see how it connects to this game, and I haven't gotten to that part yet. But so far, everything with Infinite Wealth has just been awesome. It's been weaning me back in as far as the battle system. There haven't been so many changes that I've seen. The main thing that I'm seeing right now is attitudes. Like, basically, you can make a Kasuga more confident and things like that. They went really persona with the whole feeling system. So that's an interesting touch there. But if I had a complaint so far, it's that the first part of the game, which is maybe around 3 to 4 hours, doesn't really have a whole lot of gameplay. It's really just catching you up with what Ichiban has been doing. Like, in the last game, basically, they just got rid of all the Yakuza groups, and you're seeing that, play its card in Japan. Like, you know, the Yakuza don't exist anymore. The ones that are there are, like, you know, they're frowned down upon, and Ichiban now works at Hello Work, which is, like, their contracting area where people find jobs, and he's been helping, like, the Yakuza land back on their feet. Unfortunately, he gets laid off in the first 2 hours, which, you know, I don't want to call it funny, but it's a little close to home considering, like, everything happening in the industry. I'm like, oh, okay,
yeah,
we're having people laid off, and then you see the homeless territory from the previous game all of a sudden, like, get both worse and better at the same time, because they were sort of, like, building it in that area, and then all of a sudden they say, yeah, they had to stop because the pandemic killed it. And I was like, wow, this is the first game that actually addresses the pandemic. So, you know, as far as current events, such as, like, you know, the layoffs as well as the pandemic, I'm like, wow, this game is really super accurate so far. I've gotten to the part where he makes his way to Hawaii. And I don't really want to say why he's there, because it's we enter spoiler territory. But this is also going to be where he eventually crosses paths with Kiryu again. So far, it's been really enjoyable. My main thing is that these first few hours haven't featured a whole lot of gameplay other than that. But yeah, I'm really enjoying it so far, and that's about it.
Mm. All right, so let's get to some news. Mm-hmm. We got here for a bit of a surprise for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth coming out next month, about a month from now. They are putting a movie into theaters. Final Fantasy VII Advent Children completes, I believe, an expanded version of the original movie with 26 minutes of additional footage in it. Featuring roughly 1,000 revised scenes with expanded themes and improved visuals. They're putting it in theaters about a week ahead of launch.
Yeah.
The 21st and the 22nd. So you may be able to check out local theaters and be able to get one of these showings. For those 2 days, I guess the 21st will be the English dub, and the 22nd are subbed. So if you are having preferences for that stuff, that's a thing you can do. I'm trying to see what days those are. Those are Thursday and Friday. I don't know, maybe it's March. Wednesday, Thursday, I think. Yeah, so middle of the week. Might be able to have time to go, but seems neat. Nice that they're doing this, because it's a movie that did not originally come out here in theaters. In the wake of the other Final Fantasy movie, they hedged their bets and put it out in DVD only here, and that was a fun movie. So I'm curious how this new version adds to it.
Yeah, I mean, when this game originally came out, I think I was just graduating high school. And of course, at the time, I've never played the original game. So when I did see it and get it on DVD, I didn't really know what I was watching. But then again, when I think about it, when I was playing the original game and then finished it, I didn't really know what I was playing either. Like, the Final Fantasy VII story is, like, pretty obscure in various ways. And I wouldn't even be able to really tell you if the remake is actually making it any better. But it's just one of those things that works, and the style just makes it what it is. I didn't know much about this release other than the fact that it was happening. But, you know, looking further into it and seeing as how they're talking about how it connects to the game, as well as, you know, the previews for the next game, this is something I want to consider now. And I think I have time, so we'll see.
It's running through Fathom, who does a lot of, like, specialty showings of movies and such. I was looking at it, and they're like, oh, we're doing 85th anniversary of The Wizard of Oz showings at various theaters. And so, yeah. They do a lot of interesting stuff, so
yeah,
that might be available.
Yeah, Fathom Events does a lot of stuff, especially regarding anime. So this kind of falls in that same baseline there.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, so you might be able to check out your local theaters and see if any showings are happening there. So there you go. Next up, also happening right around that same time, Splatoon 3's first big DLC, the Side Order DLC, is finally getting released on February 22nd. And that's when also the wave 2 of the Splatoon 3 expansion pass, which has Side Order. What else? That's when you can explore Spire of Order, a new location, which I think is influenced by the first two games.
Yeah, specifically, it's from Octo Expansion, from Splatoon 2.
So yeah, that's you play as a new little side story thing here with Agent 8.
Yeah,
meeting a new character named Oct, who claims to go way back with Marina, one of the hosts of Splatoon 2.
That's right, Off the Hook is back.
Her co-host Pearl seems to make an appearance of sorts as a robot that accompanies Agent 8 on their journey, so that looks interesting. And conveniently, Splatoon 3 is on sale right now on the eShop.
If you have not played it yet, do so. It's good.
Yeah, Nintendo's holding a Jumpstart January sale on the eShop, where they put more than four games on sale.
Mm-hmm.
So you know the Switch is ending soon as their main platform. You can get Animal Crossing New Horizons. It's all the same kind of 30% off deals, but conveniently, if you go to Walmart and check for codes, they'll be slightly cheaper, but you'll get gold coins for the value of the full price of the game for any of these purchases. So you'll get a bit more in return and save a little bit more. But yeah, Captain Toad's here. I know the Animal Crossing DLC is also on sale, so if you just want the DLC, that's in there. What else? Skyward Sword HD, WarioWare Get It Together, Splatoon 3 and the Expansion Pass Bundle, Pokemon Mystery Team, Rescue Team, and DX, new Pokemon Snap, part-time UFO, which would be like your HAL Laboratory Kirby stuff. Part-time UFO is a pretty fun little game. There's Kirby's Dream Buffet, Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, Clubhouse Games, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, Box Boy plus Box Girl, Fitness Boxing 2, Mars Strikers Battle League, and let's see, the Stretchers, as well as some other stuff. The Mario and Rabbids Sparks of Hope is on sale for pretty decent prices now. $40 for all the DLC and all that with it. So yeah, there's some decent stuff on sale there if you have not checked that out.
Box Boy and Box Girl is definitely available for a good price, and I'm a big fan of those Box Boy games, so looking forward to trying that one out. Going back to Splatoon 3 though, That's unfortunately a game that's fallen off my radar. I have not played that one yet, primarily because I haven't beaten the Splatoon 2 campaign. But, you know, I just love, like, the new teams at Nintendo continuing to support them. I've heard nothing but good things about the various Splatoon DLC, so it's good to see them still happening.
Yeah. Yeah. But for some bad Nintendo news, they have announced the specific dates that the Nintendo 3DS and Nintendo Wii U's online functionality will be ceasing to work, at least for their online services.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be on April 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
After that, I think the only things that will work are like the Pokemon Home type of apps that will still be functioning for a good bit longer.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, after that, all the games there that use online functionality will no longer cease to work, following up the eShop being shut down last year.
Mm-hmm.
For that, so yeah, this is a whole thing. There's the Pretendo network people mm-hmm. that are trying to get some sort of a crowdsourced network, Nintendo network stuff up. They're hoping to get that up by then, but we'll see how that works. Yeah, mm-hmm. Pokemon Bank and Pokemon Transporter are the two 3DS apps that will continue to operate online. That will allow you to transfer Pokemon from the various games on the 3DS to the bank and to the other games on the mm-hmm. Switch. So that'll give you more of a chance for that stuff there. So, yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
You got about 2 months.
Yep.
But, yeah, let's see what else is happening here. Yeah, this mobile game. Love Live! School Idol Festival 2 Miracle Live.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell it's a Japanese mobile game. Mm-hmm. It's very long. It's an anime-themed rhythm, action, and adventure game. Mm-hmm. And the sequel to Love Live! School Idol Festival.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the original game shut down last March.
Mm-hmm.
But the second game, they announced the global version will be launching February 2024, so mm-hmm. sometime next month. And then it'll also be shutting down May 31st, 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Very weird thing to yeah. do.
That is bizarre.
Yeah, but they will allow you to make in-app purchases for those 3 months. and then end it when everything goes down. Seems like the Japanese version will be going down as well around that time. For mm-hmm. that game. And yeah, it's very weird. People are just confused. Seems like they probably spent a lot of development time and budget on this global version before coming to the conclusion that it probably isn't worth keeping up for much longer.
Yeah.
Probably got delays on that, so mm-hmm. that is not a huge surprise, but they might be able to get some money out of it and get a little return on whatever they're doing there. But
maybe a little.
Yeah, and but I think they are also working on a new game as well that will, for people that played this game, I think allow you to transfer things you've unlocked to the new mm-hmm. game. So I think that's why they're allowing people to play it at all.
Mm. I guess.
Because along with, you know, whatever yeah. else is going on here, it's also recruitment for the next game, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So let me get this straight. This game's in 3 months?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, normally in the mobile world, if they don't see at least like 2 years of solid microtransactions, the game doesn't come out. So, you know, I guess the only thing that makes sense is this next game, you know, getting all that content and continuing from there. Because the only reason why I can see this, like, even existing is purely for that reason. Otherwise, I mean, we see it going on now. Like, if it doesn't come out, people are going to get laid off. So,
yeah,
it's weird.
It's such a weird thing, but it seems like they've probably put too much time and money into this. They're even doing, like, pre-registration goals and such, and it's like, okay, this is weird, but hey, that's mobile games sometimes, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, there you go. the weird mobile game announcement of the week.
Yep.
I'll be back to some Power World talk. The game that has been a huge success for the developers. The zeitgeist is kind of just as big as we've seen in quite a while, maybe since Valheim, I think, was the last time we saw a game like this kind of being such a big deal that everybody was playing it.
Mm-hmm.
And they have announced that it has reached 8 million copies sold.
Yep.
In the last week. So that is huge.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's peaked at, I think, as of this article here, 1.58 million players playing concurrently on Steam, which is also a ton of people.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think they usually hit a million plus at any one time. But, yeah, Counter-Strike 2, is the number two. They just barely got over a million. Okay, Power World hit 2.1 million earlier today, so still doing ridiculous numbers here.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, going by the numbers they have here on Steam, yeah, the third game is at 714,000. That's Dota 2. And sort of dropping down a bunch to like the 200s and 100,000. So hitting 2 million shows that there's just a ton of people playing this game.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, for whatever controversy there is around this game, whether there's, any sort of path for Nintendo to sue them or Game Freak or Pokemon Company, that'll be for them to decide. It's pretty obviously, where their inspirations have been for this game, with a lot of the designs for these creatures.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Nintendo will make that ultimate decision, which was hilarious when the Pokemon mod came out, that somebody replaced the main character with Ash and all the pals with actual Pokemon. Nintendo was basically licking their chops, like, all right, we got them right here, getting all these videos and links for the mod, taken down with DMCAs all over the place. It's like, you just serve them the easiest home run ball of all time. You do not need to do this.
That was actually the main thing that caused Nintendo to make their statement, right? The entire the mod thing. Because otherwise, I get it. Like, obviously, as Nintendo, maybe you want to see if you could just take this down in various ways. But at the end of the day, it's making its success on Steam. It's obviously Xbox Game Pass is benefiting it from it, too. Like, the time to take this down was a long time ago. And the reason why it hasn't been taken down is because they haven't done anything bad yet. Like, this is obviously, inspired by Pokemon. But considering that the game is nowhere near close, obviously you have a lot of ideas, obviously you have a lot of assets that seem to have been borrowed, but there's no concrete proof, and until they find that, there's no headway here. That being said, this is a game that definitely has my attention, and unfortunately just came out at a time where I'm just a little busy, but it does have my interest. This is pretty much everything that original Pokemon fans could have ever wanted, except for the guns. So, the fact that they put that in just, it just makes it hilarious. And it's going to be interesting to see for the next few months. And hopefully this is something that doesn't, end up like being the latest fad that only lasts about a few months. But it's been very interesting, to say the least.
Yeah, it's been pretty neat to see. They've announced like a roadmap for this game. It's all the stuff you'd expect, adding more, multiplayer stuff and things to do in the game and that kind of stuff. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, no real need to jump on this right now if you're not completely sold on it, because it's still fairly buggy and just weird.
Oh, yeah.
It's very rough in the early access state. So only people that absolutely have nothing better to do should check it out. So yeah, there's that for that. Let's see, in the last of the regular news stuff here, the Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League devs have announced their post-launch plans, at least for the first bit here. They announced their first season of content, Battle Pass, is also coming. And yeah, they're doing the Halo Infinite thing where the battle pass does not expire. If you just want to play the game and unlock that stuff, you can get the battle pass and sort of go through the free tiers. And then if the premium stuff seems nice, you can pay for that. But you can kind of just jump into them as will. And if you come in, you know, later, take a break, whatever, you can kind of get the other ones and kind of just play at your pace on that stuff. They're also adding the Joker to the game.
Because of course they are.
Yeah. And it's not going to be a character that gets taken away or anything. It'll be a permanent addition to the game. So they're making a lot of good, you know, plans here. Talking about not feeding into like Fortnite style FOMO or anything like that, and making the battle pass is pretty accessible for this game, as well as adding to the end game and all that kind of stuff, and making sure that you can play this solo if you want. So you don't have to jump into co-op or anything like that, but yeah, kind of letting people kind of play this at their pace, not necessarily worry about wasting their time grinding for stuff if they don't want to, because all the battle pass stuff is just cosmetic stuff. So yeah, that is some pretty decent stuff there as for a game that, you know, needs positive word of mouth. As a lot of the stuff from the private alpha and some press preview stuff has been pretty much not super positive about it at all, if not outright negative. But I have heard some pretty decent gameplay stuff, like liking it to Borderlands, which is like, all right, that's a pretty good comparison if it turns out to be that way. I'm hoping to get this from Gamefly, so maybe have it by next weekend or the week after that. We'll see. But yeah, there you go. Your update on the Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League. As they're kind of continuing to work on that game and get it ready for launch on a Friday. So there you go for that. And yeah, the last bit of news here, we're going to talk about layoffs, as there's been quite a few more going on this past week. We'll get to hear the first big batch of layoffs came out of Riot Games, makers of League of Legends and various other things. And they kind of went a certain route of putting up the email they were going to be sending out up alongside the announcement of layoffs, because they knew it was going to leak, and sort of making that kind of statement here. Yeah, saying here, this means we're eliminating about 530 roles globally, which represents about 11% of rioters. They call them rioters because, of course, the biggest impact to teams outside of core development. We recognize that many of you don't just care about the games you play, but also about the people who make them. These are not just organizational changes. They affect individuals and family. We do our best to approach these decisions with respect and sensitivity. If you'd like to read the email we sent to rioters, we shared it here and they linked to it and put it up as like a news post. And yeah, this, as I say here, this isn't to appease shareholders or to hit a quarterly earnings number. It's a necessity. Over the past few years, as Riot more than doubled in headcount, we spread our efforts across more and more projects without sharp enough razors to decide what players needed most. The adjustments we're making aim to focus us on the areas that we have the greatest impact on your experience, are reducing investments on things that don't. Which sounds a lot like they made poor decisions, and these people have to pay for that. Especially as a thing we've noticed of late is that CEOs don't really suffer consequences anymore for bad decisions. Either the bunch of people get laid off, or other people deal with the issue, or they're just like, whoops, our bad. We'll do better next time, kind of thing. But yeah, this guy seems to have invested in I think the what they call the Riot Forge, I think, which is the Riot Forge, which produced all those indie games based on various characters in the League of Legends universe.
Yeah.
That kind of stuff. They have one more coming up called Bandletail. I think that's the Life Sim one. That's going to be the last one of these games. So a bunch of people that worked on that stuff and managed that stuff are getting laid off, as well as others throughout the company. And yeah, just kind of a not great start to the week.
Yeah.
For this stuff, especially as, you know, League of Legends is one of, if not the biggest game in the world.
Mm-hmm.
So saying that they did not make enough money off of League of Legends seems like a thing that's hard to believe. Because it seems like it's probably more due to those games that, you know, probably not many people cared about, really, seeing the like expanded universe of games for League of Legends stuff. But yeah, that's not it's not necessarily what deserves these people getting laid off for these bad decisions.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, there you go for Riot.
Mm-hmm.
Laying off a bunch of people there. Mm-hmm. Let's see, next up here, People Can Fly laid off more than 30 employees who are working on their current game. Codename Project Gemini, that is to be published by Square Enix, much like Outriders. Yeah, said the job cuts affected only staff working on an unannounced game at the studio. So, let's see. They cited budget limitations and a shrinking scope for Project Gemini as for why it was laying off over 30 people. Yeah, they noted that another 20 outside of the 30 laid off were removed from the project, moved to other projects that People Can Fly. So yeah, this seems like something going on with this game. Probably not great news.
Yeah.
Maybe the game will turn out fine, but yeah, it seems like something dealing with Square Enix and all that, as they do mention budget limitations and a shrinking scope. So probably they wanted more money from Square Enix, and they said, nah, we think what you got is fine. Probably led to that, so it's at least more of a reasonable, direct, you know, consequence for development, as they're probably not, you know, working with too much extra money to keep people on that they don't have the ability to afford. So that's kind of the indie developer lifestyle.
Yep.
Is you can only work with the amount of people you can afford to keep on staff.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, there's that. Next up here, Black Forest Games reportedly laid off about 50 people.
Yep.
This is the studio behind the recent Destroy All Humans 1 and 2 remakes. So this is an Embracer Group set of layoffs. I don't know that they are owned by them, but let's see. This the source says creative directors and most, if not all, of the managers at Black Forest Games will keep their jobs following the layoffs. Convenient.
Mm-hmm.
There were approximately about 110 employees as of last year, so this is about roughly 50% reduction in staff. But yeah, just more fallout for Embracer Group developers, so there you go for that. Seems like they're probably working on something. But yeah, there you go. And then the last one, the big one, Microsoft announced that they have laid off 1,900 people. Phil Spencer put out a big statement on this, talking about how they were committed to aligning on a strategy and an execution plan with a sustainable cost structure that will support the whole of our growing businesses or business. And as such, the gaming workforce that is about 22,000 people strong was being slashed by 1,900 jobs, about 8.6%, an incredible amount of people. The impacted studios run the gamut from the main Xbox group to ZeniMax and Bethesda to Activision Blizzard, which they just acquired 3 months ago. As I said, Phil Spencer is saying the company is grateful for all of the creativity, passion, and dedication these people have brought to our games, our players, and our colleagues. And it's like, yeah, it doesn't seem you're that dedicated to any of them. Laying off a bunch of these people, you know, so soon after getting laid off or getting purchased. Claiming it was a painful decision, but, you know, nobody at the tops of these companies are getting affected at all. Technically, let's see, Blizzard's president, Mike Ybarra, and their chief design officer, Alan Adam, have left the company. But that's not part of the layoffs. It's them not wanting to work as part of a Microsoft company now. For that, so Mike Ybarra is not a big loss. He's not a great person. So good riddance to him. You can definitely tell he's not a big fan of Microsoft because he left them originally, went to Blizzard. Somehow was made the co-president. Got the other co-president to leave because she was not getting paid as much as him, despite having worked at Activision Blizzard for 20 years. And he only being, you know, a couple years into his job there. So he ended up taking control as president fully. And yeah, it seems like the effects of all this have been wide-ranging at Microsoft. There was a game that Blizzard was working on, I think a survival game that had been in the works for like 6 years, had been essentially canceled. A bunch of that team is gone. A bunch of people working it, you know, on Overwatch and a bunch of other Blizzard stuff also fired as well. A bunch of the Call of Duty studios, you know, the very important Call of Duty property, have been laid off, I think, from 10 to 30% of those teams, which seems like that would impact their ability to keep making that Call of Duty money for them. So, but we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
Bethesda people got laid off as well. So this isn't necessarily just redundancy from the new acquisition. But I think another trend I saw people mentioning is that a bunch of community managers got laid off. So a bunch of the people, especially, say, for games like Fallout 76, whereas, you know, which is a game that was in a rough place early on. And if without people like their community managers helping to, you know, put out fires and such for the way that game was received, as the game was getting updated, making, you know, being made better, those kind of people are very valuable as a being able to keep their, you know, keep their hand on the pulse of the community and sort of figure out what new things they should be doing. That's always kind of a thing that seems like a real easy mistake that companies make of thinking that they don't provide that much value for what they're doing. But yeah, it seems like a lot of like longtime Blizzard and Bethesda people got laid off as well. So it wasn't even just about redundancy or anything like that. And it seems a way of cutting a lot of like larger payroll people, vets that were probably making a decent amount of money on this. And Microsoft is a company that wants to save money. Cutting those people makes a lot of sense if they want to be as kind of cruel and, you know, vindictive against people that don't deserve it at all. And then very much I saw a lot of people talking about, there's one guy joking that the last thing he posted before his Slack privileges were removed was basically, let's see, like I have it here. Yeah, he posted, "Look, I'm just happy we were able to provide some value to the shareholders." As the meme of the comic strip that shows how the, you know, the world being destroyed by climate change and all that. And the guy tells the kids, like, "Look, it was great that we could provide value to the shareholders while we could." So yeah, people having some good humor about themselves with the shitty situation they were in. Seemed like people were basically getting cut off from any means of, you know, internally contacting people that they were going to, you know, no longer be working with their email and Slack, and that being cut off pretty quickly as soon as they were notified that they were being laid off, that kind of stuff. And yeah, don't know what the severance stuff is on these people. Hopefully it's good, but I definitely saw stories of people that had just moved to comply with return to office requests and that kind of stuff. People had just join the teams, that kind of stuff. And even one that I think was in need of some very expensive medicine and, you know, being able to have a consistent job in healthcare helped make that more affordable, being extremely devastated by that news that she was getting laid off. So not a great time, especially here at the beginning of the year, and kind of really soured the vibes that people had for the acquisition of Activision Blizzard King, and kind of thing that, you know, we all kind of saw coming that this was not a great acquisition for anybody's jobs. Getting rid of, you know, Bobby Kotick is a positive thing, but, you know, being acquired like this was going to lead to layoffs and other stuff happening that maybe was for individually those people not going to be as great of a feeling. And unfortunately that has come to pass, and even gotten the attention of people like Elizabeth Warren, who were very vocal against the acquisition when it was happening, being like, maybe we need to, you know, the FTC, I think, is still working on the acquisition stuff with that. And like, maybe we need to look at this and see if, you know, if Microsoft was not being truthful with the things they were saying about job security and all that. So, yeah, a lot of stuff going on here, and people still be unpacking and trying to figure out, you know, how much of the people that, you know, people are putting hopes on Toys for Bob getting to make a new, you know, Banjo-Kazooie game or a new Spyro game under Microsoft and all that. And it's like, well, that doesn't seem likely to happen with the cuts here. Maybe the remaining team will be okay to work on a thing on a much smaller scale. I don't know, but this kind of throws a wrench to a lot of that, you know, the general daydreaming that Xbox fans have of like, oh, we got all these teams. Let's obviously they're going to make, you know, New Vegas 2 and all this. And it's like, that doesn't mean anything. That's not really how that stuff works, because you still have people that were working on something. Because that's how that works. You kind of continue your project that you're working on when you're acquired. And then maybe after that's done, when you got people, you know, looking into what the next thing is, maybe you'll get to pitch that, but doesn't necessarily mean that because Microsoft is the biggest company in the world that they will, you know, approve of that thing. Phil won't do that. Phil won't say like, you know, we're not going to do that. They're gonna be like, ah, maybe we'll see, but he's never going to be that kind of, negative about that stuff. But yeah, this is definitely put a big you know, pin in the balloon of people looking at the way that Activision Blizzard would be able to work on stuff as part of Xbox, and even a little bit on the good guy image of Phil Spencer, as people realize like, oh, he's a Microsoft CEO through and through, been there for most of his adult life. And he's very much a company man. Maybe not the gamer, you know, the gamer CEO that people have been fantasizing about on Twitter for years now. And maybe that's kind of putting a little, you know, pin in there for a bit for people that's kind of obsessed about that. But
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, Microsoft, especially with Phil Spencer at the top of it, has really done quite the job to change the narrative where Phil Spencer looks like a man of the people, or, you know, man of the gamer, or whatever it may be. And yeah, the good thing here is that, yeah, he plays games, but, you know, at the end of the day, he's still a businessman, you know? The acquisition is there, and like, it's funny how, and, you know, ourselves included, try to put a positive spin with the acquisition. But I'm pretty sure a lot of us knew these kinds of layoffs were coming. I personally didn't think it would be this amount of people and they lose all of their community managers, because, you know, like, for whatever it's worth, Game Pass for the most part is a consumer friendly service, and you know, you would think that since Microsoft is out to get, you know, consumers on their services through any means possible, you would think they would value people like their community managers who can, you know, handle things. And as we know, especially with Blizzard and Activision, you know, they kind of need their comms managers because of all the live services they have and all of the metas that they have as well. So, you know, you have a lot of redundancies and all that, and it's just sad to see. I'm on LinkedIn almost every day as an advocate, you know, trying to get people back on their feet. I mean, like, we've been doing this podcast for how many years now? And like, prior to this year, like, a closure was sort of rare, maybe, or layoffs were pretty rare. Maybe we'd see like two or three a year, and we'd always like have that conclusion that people would land back on their feet. And now, that's not the case anymore. Like, even me in my position, like, I fear for my own position every day. I've said goodbye to a whole bunch of coworkers that, you know, I really like. And yeah, it's definitely affected my psyche in ways that, you know, I wish it didn't. And for example, like, we have people that obviously weren't laid off, but you can't tell me that they weren't affected in any way, even if it was just work. Like, you know, some people made friends and things like that. And it's just really unfortunate. And, you know, at this point, people just feel powerless, and you hope that there is some sort of answer. You know, obviously, like, unions are one of them, but at the end of the day, we know how they're treated. So it's just tough.
Yeah, the amount of people that were part of the unions that were involved in the acquisition, very few. Dozens of people at most. Versus, you know, the amount that got laid off here. So, yeah, that's kind of a sad thing to see. As much as people were trying to, not that long ago, try to make Microsoft seem like a layoff-proof team, you know, company there, and it's like, yeah, no, you don't get to be a company worth trillions of dollars if you don't exploit people.
Yeah.
And being willing to cut them when it makes the most financial sense. And that's what's going on now in the gaming industry. And yeah, I don't know what these people do next. Hopefully they find some good work, either with other companies or getting out of the game industry, though the tech industry is not any better. It's potentially even worse, as tech companies are going full in on AI and all that kind of stuff, which Microsoft also is doing. And it's probably not a huge coincidence that they're laying off a ton of people as they're investing into tech that could potentially replace some part of the work and jobs that they're getting rid of here.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Hell of a good end to the first month of 2024 with like 5,000 people being laid off here.
I can tell me about it.
And seems like all signs are suggesting that it's not going to get much better. We'll see if any companies go down in the process this year. We'll see, but every company worth their salt seems to be laying off people at some point. So see how long that can keep going. But yeah, I think we're going to end the show here.
Yeah.
With a more positive message here that there's still some stuff to check out here this week.
Yeah, absolutely.
Grand Blue Fantasy Relink on Thursday. Persona 3 Reload on Friday.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League on Friday.
Yep.
So some big games there. Persona's on Game Pass. The others are not on any services. So you do have a demo for Grand Blue Fantasy that you can check out on PlayStation. So. There's that. But yeah, there's still a lot of good games then. A lot of stuff that has been coming out will be coming out. So at least we can have some stuff to take off our minds off of the bad stuff going on in the financial part of the industry. So yeah. But yeah, thank you to Brandon Danner for joining this week.
Always.
We'll be back next week with a new slate of news and games to talk about. Yeah, if you enjoy the show, for let friends and family know, they should check us out and select strangers that also think infinite growth capitalism is a cancer on every industry.
On the human race, let's put it that way.
Yeah. So yeah, thank you all for tuning in. Hope you have a good week ahead, and we'll see you all next time. Have a good one.